Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody, on a Tuesday morning. If you are just joining us for hour two, welcome. Where have you been? You've missed a lot. We have covered a lot here on this program today, which is episode number 37, coming to you from the bunker in the 306. Because it's 37, we're inviting comments on the Facebook wall and our Prairie Mobile text line on your favorite number 37s of all time. I said Josh Harding. Marshall said Silas McKinney. Dupes, he's a former Rider running back. Harding, a former Pats and Minnesota Wild goalie. Wheat Kings, too. Did you come up with one?
I'm using the Facebook feed as the phone a friend.
Which ones? Olaf Kolzig?
Yeah, Kolzig and Patrice Bergeron. I think Patrice Bergeron's probably my pick for the best, but Olaf Kolzig was a good one that I didn't remember.
Ole the goalie. Oh, and Dave Steeb. Dave Steeb, number 37, oh, yeah. When I was Googling number 37.
I thought we were just talking about football players. So Steve, that's why I went with seven.
Oh, it's everything. Everything's on the table here. We will delve back into the football talk in a moment. By the way, from last hour, David Naylor with us from the CFL on TSN, looking back at week six. There's a question that Marshall wanted to get into that I don't think we could have with Dave. Do you want to throw that out now, what you would have liked to have asked him?
Well, I don't know if it's a question as much as I'll throw it out in the form of my theory. My theory is, and I think Kavis Reed should have got fired probably 2 years earlier for making dumb football decisions, not the least of which, in fact, the most egregious of which is trading for Johnny Manziel and giving away a whole bunch of talent, including some talented young offensive linemen, which they could use now.
And first-round picks forever.
Yeah. You know, so that was just dumb. And I could probably come up with a list of four or five other things that he should have got fired for. But I think what he got fired for now was for these financial irregularities that they found when the new owners were looking to buy the Alouettes, so they're going through the books. So with the league taking over the Alouettes and getting a chance to see the books, maybe for the first time, so that they can show them to the new owners. The new owners are saying, well, what's this? I mean, what's this expense for? And what's this expense for? And the league going, I don't know. It doesn't look kosher to us. So I think they felt like they had to let Kavis Reed go because of those financial irregularities. Back to my theory, my bet is that the other eight general managers in the league are doing some variation of those same things, but they're not getting caught because their books aren't being looked at like the Montreal Alouettes books were being looked at. So that's just my theory. And I was going to put it to Dave Naylor, but Dave Naylor's probably not free to speak because he's got TSN handcuffs on and stuff. So that's where my mind wanted to go.
Well, I think it's a fair question and observation or whatever you want to say that you've pointed out there, but I just don't expect David Naylor would talk about that even if he knew.
Yep.
Because of the television deal between the CFL and TSN. The poll, if you're just jumping in, the daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, which quarterback would you rather have of these four based on their age, their salary, stage of their career, and so forth? Cody Fajardo, Vernon Adams Jr., Bo Levi Mitchell, or Mike Riley? And the runaway winner right now is Cody Fajardo at 67% of the vote. Next is Bo Levi Mitchell at 19% of the vote. Mike Riley has 9%, Vernon Adams Jr. 5%. But as Marshall said, ask us that a week ago. with Cody Fajardo coming out of the Calgary game, the results probably would be far different, but it's not. That's where we are this week heading into week 7. Got a thank you from the Swift Current Broncos. So thank you, Swift Current Broncos. You're welcome for standing up for Saskatchewan, standing up for mascots. The Riders scolding their own mascot for roughing up a stuffed toy Saturday night. That's how stupid this whole thing has gotten. Like, stop the world. I want to get off. So the Swift Current Broncos mascot took a stuffed tiger and threw it out of the stands onto the ice and said, "That's how you treat a cat." A stuffed cat, I might add. A stuffed cat. Let's clarify that.
We don't want all the cat lovers, the live cat lovers to hate us.
I'm just going through things here. I had talked about Last Chance U, how I started watching it last night. My wife wasn't really down with it. And 15 minutes in, she's like, "Can we switch it to Homeland now?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think we can." It reminded me of David Naylor's comment about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and how exciting they are this season at 5-0. And I had a former NFLer text me during one of the Bomber games, and he's like, "Do these guys know he got kicked out of the NFL because of drugs?" And I'm like, and he'd be the first to do that and come to the CFL and be a, so what? It, maybe Winnipeg's last chance, you, of the CFL. I don't. But who cares now if that was Lucky Whitehead's past? He's probably the most, well, he's for sure the most exciting first-year player in the CFL. He's not going to qualify for Rookie of the Year because he spent 3-4 years in the National Football League. But, Marshall, I don't think we as a league and fans care anymore what your history was or why you're in the CFL. My goodness. If we did, we wouldn't have as many players.
Yeah,
and
probably the one debut that I can think of that's maybe better, debut season, I should say, than Lucky so far, is Rocket Ishmael many, many years ago with the Argos, and he just sort of took the league by storm with special teams plays, but Lucky's off to a great start. But if you have time, let me give you a quick synopsis on Last Chance U for those people.
Absolutely. That was my segue.
The people that can't get enough sports, and if you're retired like me and you got a chance to watch, or you get up really early in the morning like I do, Last Chance University is really interesting, and it's maybe for reasons other than what you might think. But it's on Netflix, and no, I'm not being paid by Netflix to say this, but it's on Netflix. There's 3 seasons. The first 2 seasons are East Mississippi University, and the third season is a Independence Community College in Kansas. But basically what you've got is in all 3 seasons and in all scenarios, you've got a coach that is really good at recruiting people who have basically worn out their welcomes with D1 schools in the SEC and other major colleges throughout the United States because they either got caught with drug violations or they caught with rule violations on the team or academically they weren't able to pass their classes. So they're back, you know, trying to figure out how do I get back to a D1 school so they get opportunities and scholarships at these hole-in-the-wall places in Mississippi and Kansas. And this is their last chance. This is their last chance. This is not last chance to play football in the NFL. This is their last chance to get back to college, D1 college. And if you do well in D1 college, then you got a chance potentially to play in professional football someday. So it's obviously about football, but it's also a lot about how do we help these kids get to class on time? How do we help these kids pass their classes? How do we help these kids stay away from drug violations? How do we get, because these guys are teetering on this brink between playing in the NFL someday or going to jail or getting shot. And it's really, it sounds like I'm being dramatic, but that's the crossroad that a lot of these guys are at. And it's their last chance to do well in school, their last chance to play well in football. And if they get noticed, and you'll see at the end of each season, the good ones get D1 scholarships and some of them potentially onto the NFL, and the bad ones go to jail.
Yeah.
Well, it's potentially fascinating. I've watched 15 minutes of it and I liked it. I just didn't love it.
You got to get into the characters. Once you start to get into, you know, this middle linebacker, here's his background, and here's what kind of a player he is, but here's what kind of a student he is, here's what kind of upbringing he had. You start to get invested in the individuals, then it becomes more entertaining.
Well, you see why a guy like Chris Jones, your favorite coach, how he would deal with players like that This was last chance you. That's why I say Winnipeg might be that now for guys like Lucky Whitehead, but here for the last 3 years. As a matter of fact, the Riders had players that were on last chance you. I'm sure you know that, yeah. Right? But I saw the way Chris Jones dealt with these players. He dealt with them like he was their father, because in a lot of instances, they didn't have fathers.
Yeah.
So they weren't raised with discipline. They weren't raised with rules and structure. Some guy in society, people actually crave that. Yeah. And for a lot of these players, they've never had that. That's why they would play for Chris Jones. And he's not new either. Roy and Danny were the same. I mean, you guys have followed this team forever. It actually works. The sad thing is when they don't straighten up.
Right.
And they break those rules. And then it's what? Because you are out on the street. You are officially done.
It is HBO's Hard Knocks, but it's more raw and it's more real and it's a little less Hollywood, mm-hmm. a little less stardom, a little less lights and camera action and a little more raw and real life, it feels like, doesn't it? A lot more than Hard Knocks, but it's the same kind of idea.
Oh,
it's way more sad. Yeah. And I think I heard this interview on radio probably 3 or 4 weeks ago with camera, I think it's number 35, the linebacker with the Rough Riders. Anyway, he was being interviewed, and he said he went back and he looked at a team photograph from his you know, Pop Warner, you know, 10 and under, 12 and under, whatever, football team. And he said that 85% of the people that were in that picture were either dead or in jail. That's the environment that a lot of these, especially the black, this is not a prejudice comment, but a lot of these black guys grew up in these poor communities and homeless and single parent and raised by their grandparents and stuff like that. And the mountain that they're climbing is so, so different from the mountain that I had to climb as an athlete and as a student, you know, growing up in a healthy environment with a mom and a dad and brothers and sisters and enough food on the table and stuff. These guys, you know, to have 85% of your football team either dead or in jail, that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brandon Hutchinson, I assume is a Bomber fan, writing in on the Facebook wall, says, Lucky Whitehead did not get kicked out for drugs. He had a strange false arrest because someone stole his identity. That's not a reason to get kicked out of the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that what the NFL alum that texted me is right. I'm just saying, hey, Lucky's got a checkered past. Guess what? So do I. We're not holding that against anybody. We're cheering him on in Winnipeg. I just said he's the most exciting first-year player in the CFL this year. And we want the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to win the Grey Cup. Or at least I do. I will only speak for myself. On the BC Lions, by the way, for those that weren't listening back in hour one, if there is a term more important than big, a must win, I don't know what it would be. Imperative win? I don't know. Like, almost elimination game. That's what the Lions are facing here Saturday against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders at 1-5. Now, in 2011, when they were 1-5, they signed Tad Cornegay and Arlen Bruce III. It looked like that's what spurred them on the way to winning a Grey Cup. Yesterday, Marshall, the Lions signed offensive lineman Avery Jordan and defensive back Cresden Butler. They do need a lineman. So Avery Jordan will probably help, and maybe Krez will too, but I don't think they're Tad Cornegay and Arlen Bruce. I don't think they're this generation's that. I think the Lions need more than that to save their season.
Yeah, I don't know how to fake a yawn, but those are yawn signings. Those aren't noteworthy signings. So I'm not saying they won't help them, because they probably will. But they're going to help them in marginal ways, not in significant ways. So I'm not going to use a Trump term, fake news, but that's not really news.
Well, I always say, people say small, minor deals. Well, they're not small and minor to Avery Jordan and Cresden Butler.
Agreed.
They got jobs.
And it's not small and minor to the guys that they're going to get cut, because those two guys came in.
Mm-hmm. But if you're Devone Claybrooks, or go one step higher in the organization, Ed Hervey, what are you doing to save the season? What would you do? I'm not questioning what they're doing. I'm saying, if you, Marshall, were in their shoes, what would you do?
Well, number one is protect Mike Riley. I mean, there's no way you can go through the rest of the season with him healthy if he's being sacked 21 times through the first 5 or 6 games of the season. That's number one. But, I mean, let's give a little bit of credit. And if you sort of rewind the tape and watch the first 3 quarters, and I said this to a friend of mine that went to the game with me live last week or last weekend. they were doing the things to protect Mike Riley. And it doesn't sound like it because he still got sacked four times. But they were running the ball effectively. And the offensive line was opening up huge holes for Brandon Rutley. They were opening up huge holes for Rutley. And if you get a good running game going, that's a great way to protect your quarterback. Two, they were throwing, you know, lots of, and I'm not going to use dink and dung, but they were throwing a lot of short possession pattern type stuff that didn't require Mike Riley to stand 7 feet or 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage in a spot marked by an X where everybody on the Saskatchewan Roughrider defense can aim for it. Through the first three quarters, they were protecting Mike Riley for the most part with a good running game and with an effective play calling. And the fourth quarter, it sort of fell apart. And the TSN turning point clearly was the touchdown kick return by...
flip the field. Figgy.
By Figgy, the Marcus Thigpen.
Flip the game, sorry.
That was the TSN turning point, and that sort of forced the BC Lions to get away from running the ball, get away from the possession receiving and starting to throw the ball further downfield. And to do that, you got to stand back in the pocket further. And Charleston Hughes had a game, a career game. He just looked like a man possessed.
Player of the week, Charleston Hughes today, along with Shaquille Evans. We need to take a break from the Facebook wall. Our regular Craig in Regina, who usually texts the program, writes in on Facebook. He says, tuning in from my East Coast home in Halifax on vacation. Keep up the good work, boys. P.S. No sign of the Schooners. We could get into that next segment. There are other things that I want to get into. I want to talk about the new arena in Calgary. Marshall, you as a Stamps alum, I want your take on no new home for the Stampeders. And will there ever be? But I don't mind talking about the Schooners. I think that if you're going to bring a team out there and you want to get people excited, I've ranted about it on this show, have some visibility. And they don't. But I know I've dug into this over the past few weeks. The people that are in charge of that organization right now are football guys and business guys, but not necessarily marketing and communications guys. So they're looking after, frankly, the most important things first. But drumming up interest isn't exactly being done right now. So we got a lot of things to get to. We'll continue in a moment. We expect to be joined by Wes Cates in the bunker as well. It is episode number 37 of The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back on a Tuesday morning, everybody. The morning Tuesday sports update for the Tap corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. DuPont's coming back from the bathroom. There was a quick break, I know. Did you flush? Why are you not talking?
Just waiting to get into my seat.
You're a mime?
You know.
This is a visual show.
I'm here.
Morning sports update.
What? Didn't walk in front of the camera either.
No, you're
a savvy
learning.
Veteran now.
Like Marshall did a couple weeks ago.
That right. happens 37 episodes. I'm a
For
veteran.
The tap, the City of Calgary, the Flames, and the Stampede Association have agreed on terms for an event center for Calgary that would become the new home for the NHL team and replace the 36-year-old Saddle Dome. City Council has yet to ratify the deal, but details were released last night to the public. The estimated cost is $500 million. The cost will be split 50-50 between the city and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Group. Nick Nurse has named his coaching staff for Canada's team at the upcoming FIBA World Cup. Nate Bjorkgren, Brad Greenberg, Nathaniel Mitchell, and John Goodwillie were named assistant coaches for the tournament in China later this summer. They need four coaches? Isn't there only 12 guys on the team? By the way, I saw a guy in Ricky's Sunday morning who was a dead ringer for Nick Nurse, a twin. I almost went up and asked for a selfie. Ricky's in Harbor Landing. Blue Jays righty Aaron Sanchez rides a career-high losing streak into tonight's game against the Cleveland Indians at Rogers Center. Sanchez has lost 13 straight decisions and has a league-worst 14 losses in total. His last victory was April 27th against Oakland. So there is your morning sports update for the tap. On the Blue Jays vein, I see Ryan Barocki last night became the 15th player to start a game for the Blue Jays this year. That is a franchise record. I felt like spawning that for our daily poll question. Is Mark Shapiro systematically ruining the Toronto Blue Jays and Ross Atkins? Because that's what it looks like to me. That's what it looks like to me. I've often wondered, you know, when people say to me, I don't follow hockey to the playoffs. I don't follow football to the playoffs. How can you not? But when it comes to baseball, I don't follow baseball to the playoffs. So you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So for 20 years, I wasn't really following the Blue Jays because they were never in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, they got good, and they're raising pennants at Rogers Center. I'm like, oh, this is Alex Anthopoulos' team. I get it. And you showed him the door? Why? So now we got these other guys. Listen, if you're starting 15 players, 15 different players, Marshall, that is not good. Look, I know baseball isn't your number one sport, but come on. I don't like where it's going here.
But at the risk of sounding like a bandwagon jumper, when the Blue Jays are contending, I watch. I watch lots of games, and I enjoy watching them because they're meaningful games, and they're playing their first string players, and I want to see how the Blue Jays' best players and best pitchers stack up against the other team's best. And then you're watching the standings and where are they in the wild card race or where are they in the pennant race, etc. I enjoy watching it when they're contending. But when they're right now, this is like a 182-game preseason for next year. That's all this is. And it's a whole bunch of auditioning for jobs.
I know, but what sign is that they're even going to be better next year?
Well, I'm not saying that they are going to be better next year, but they've certainly given up on this year. So that's why they're auditioning so many players. And in some ways, I don't blame them for that, because if you're either contending or you're building. And those that gets caught with one foot in one canoe and the other foot in the other canoe, all they do is they pull their groin really, really bad. Bad metaphor. But my point is...
We're talking about Leaf Gainer out of this.
At least the Blue Jays recognize that they're building. So you audition a whole bunch of pitchers, you audition a whole bunch of players, you start playing your young players like Vladdy Jr. At least give the Blue Jays credit for knowing that they're building.
I hope you're right. I say if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, and I don't see them getting better. I fear they're getting worse under these guys. That's my fear. Go ahead, Duke.
This is a big issue in sports, and it's a big issue in life, too. We're seeing this in other organizations. We're seeing it in other sports where you get new people coming in and think they know better, and they think they know it's got to change, and we got to do it this way, and we've got to make things different. And I went through that when I first got into this business. I was in Rosetown and Kindersley, Golden West Radio. Wonderful company. They gave me my start in the business. And their philosophy was local first. And I'm 19 years old thinking, are you kidding? I'm like, we should be talking about this great big trade in the NHL right off the top. And the CFL and the Riders and da-da-da-da-da. And no, it was what's interest locally first. So I was talking about the Rosetown Red Wings senior hockey team. You know, their weekend.
What did I say earlier?
Game.
Give people what they want.
You have to
That's
be
That's what your listeners
realistic.
Want.
Realistic. And a winner will always sell. And we know that, right? But you're going to operate when the team's not winning. So you have to be able to have interest. And it comes back to the attendance issue. And the guy from Northwestern, was it?
Yeah. Talking Pat Fitzgerald.
He said, this is the problem. And he, you know, holds up the cell phone. He's like, we're on this. And he said, we're at a concert and we're doing this. He's like, watch the concert. Why are you on the phone? You're at dinner. And why are you texting? Well, yes, we're romantic about the way it's always been and what we feel it should be. But you have to be realistic about how it is. And this is a big tool now. You know, my dad hates it, but he used to read the newspaper, watch the weather, do his crossword, read the Reader's Digest. I do all of those things on here. It's not called Reader's Digest. It's called Twitter. It's not called, you know what I mean? So we have to be realistic and understand people are using this, understand people don't want to tailgate maybe for 4 hours of the day before the game and then sit in for a 3 hour game or watch a 4 hour
baseball
game.
What does this have to do with the Blue Jays?
You have to find a way to capture people in their state and how they want to experience life. And with the Jays, you know, people want to, you know, be all over a winner. Well, you have to find a way to still sell your team and convince people that this is an entertaining product. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is a good way to do that. You have to find a way to still market even when you're losing.
Well, Matt Ramsey writing in on the Facebook page says, Shapiro came into an older team that had to either rebuild or go for it. Baseball is so tough to build a contender, especially in the AL East. All I'm saying is, are they getting better or are they getting worse? That was all my question was. Can you bring up that comment from Alex Dick you just had up here? I just read the mat. Here it is. Alex Dick, I know this is only show number 37 already, but man, is this good sports talk. Keep it up, guys. Quickest 2 hours of the day. I think we're behind in a break, right, Dupes? Because of the nailer snafu with the video. I think we are. So we're going to take a break, and the Wes Cates will come on set here in the bunker when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Okay, we're back on the air on a Tuesday morning, July 23rd, here in the bunker. Episode number 37. We are asking our viewers and listeners for their favorite number 37 of all time. I've said Josh Harding. Marshall, you said
Silas McKinney.
Sorry, I can't remember that name. We've had some good ones today. Olaf Kolzig, Dave Steeb. Keep them coming. Lots of time left on today's program. We were talking about the new stadium in Calgary, and I'm going to get to that. The new arena, not the stadium. There is a difference. We've got two Stampeders alum here, Marshall Hamilton and Wes Cates. But Jack Fulton watching from Calgary this morning. And by the way, Jack, Ray Jacobs says hi. I was with Jay this morning, with Jake this morning at Evolution Fitness. What a super guy. Love that guy. Jack says, you say winners sell. Then why aren't the Stampeders selling out every game? And why are they the only team in the CFL without a new stadium? So we can get into that. I would love to. So hello, Calgary, this morning. And all our viewers, 1 in 10 of our viewers is in Calgary. And listeners as well on Listen Live. What did you guys think? And, you know, Wes, your wife now is from Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how often you get back there, but how much are you watching this, the new Flames Arena versus the new Stamps Stadium,
yeah,
the whole thing? What do you think?
I think it's always nice to get a new home, but, you know, teams like making money, not spending money. So at the end of the day, unless the community is going to get on board and fund it, it's something that takes a lot of deliberation and consideration. And, you know, you could basically bankrupt yourself trying to build new stadiums every time they're needed. I mean, I don't think they really last longer than 20 years. But if you're building a new stadium every 20 years, you're spending most of the money you're making for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question, and maybe Wes knows the answer. But, you know, my tenure with the Stamps was relatively short. But it's a little bit of, you know, when do you buy a new car? Do you buy a new car because a new shiny one just came out and you want one just like that? Right. Or do you buy it because the one that you've got isn't working very good?
Right.
So, I mean, one of the reasons why I'm really glad we're in the new Mosaic Stadium as opposed to the old is it's such a treat now to be able to go to the washroom and not have to wait for 45 minutes to get a chance to go to the bathroom. It's really nice to have this large selection of places that you can go get a different form of food or drink. It's really nice to have some place where you can go and mingle in between quarters or at halftime. You could not do those things in the old stadium. So, and plus it was falling apart. So that, you know, back to my metaphor, that car was breaking down and it wasn't servicing my needs as a driver. I don't know if you could say those same things about the Calgary Stadium. So you don't buy a new car just because you want a new car. You buy a new car because you need a new car. Because as you said, the team is into making money, not into spending money. So do you think that stadium is breaking down in the same way that Taylor Field was?
Definitely not. I mean, Taylor Field was long overdue. I think the McMahon Stadium situation is a little better. I think they've done a good job of kind of adding on to it. And I don't know if maybe just the influx of people and the way it was set up in the beginning was a little better, but Taylor Field was like ancient compared to what I remember of McMahon Stadium. And I don't remember any big issues. And, you know, like with the crowd sizes and people getting in and parking around, none of those things are really issues other than maybe just the road that it's on and congestion when traffic's coming in. So unless you can improve on that, I don't think it's really necessary. But it's always nice to get a new stadium. But if the fans aren't screaming for it, then and it's not going to turn into more ticket sales, then why do it?
Well, that's why I wanted to get into it with both you guys. I don't know, Marshall, did you have a kid living in Calgary ever? Do you spend any time in Calgary at all?
Very little. I mean, I used to, when I was in the steel industry, used to travel to Calgary every week to work. But I never had family there. So I've never gone there to vacation or to visit family. But I've been there lots to work over the course of my time.
So this is one of my favorite topics about the Calgary Stadium. I went to college in Calgary, Mount Royal. Wes, you've heard of that. You lived there. I loved it. And my plan was to stay there, but I got a job here. So I came home. It's a world-class city. There's no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. They've had the worst facilities in their leagues for a long time. McMahon is still the worst stadium in the CFL. Well, not the worst, but in terms of age. I think it's actually better than McGill in Montreal. I do. Wes, you will agree with this. Some of our favorite memories are Rider games in McMahon.
Oh, for sure.
Like, my guilty pleasure is Rider games.
In all four quarters.
Yeah, at McMahon Stadium. I love games there.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody. But I also know how the Stampeders feel. And the fact that they're not even mentioned in this gaudy announcement that the Flames are getting their new arena, but the Stamps, who are owned by the same group, they're just left over here. They're so neglected in that town. And it's so wrong. And I've got a lot of friends with the Stampeders organization. And it's frustration more than anything. I don't think it's anger. They're literally like, what more do we need to do?
But here's a question, Rod. Maybe you're close enough to it that you'll know the answer. But if a new hockey stadium gets approved and they build this complex for $500 million, is it in an area that's big enough that you could put a new football stadium
beside it
within the next 10 years?
Have you been following this, Wes?
I know a little bit about it. I've heard people talking about it, but I'm not sure exactly where they're trying to put. Is it where the stadium
There's been
is?
So many different incarnations of this.
Yeah.
I believe the one last night in our Calgary viewers, you clue me in if I'm wrong, and I know you will, but it's downtown in the vicinity of where the current arena is.
Right.
And the one thing that I saw last night, people criticizing this announcement, were you are in a valley, you are in a basin. At some point, you're going to get flooding, and this entire new district that you're talking about is going to be flooded out. It just happened how long ago? 08, 09-ish? When the Saddle Dome was flooded and they had, you know, the lower bowl of the arena was full of water. Whatever. They'll figure it out. I'm not as concerned about that. But I darn sure know there isn't enough space to put a football stadium there. And secondly, talking with U of C people, if you're going to put a new football stadium up there, they'd love it up in the Northwest area. Not downtown. It's not going to happen downtown. They just don't have the land available there.
Yeah.
But the tough part is that life's about acceptance. You need to accept the fact that you're not a priority in your own town. That's what it comes down to.
Well, and if you've been sharing space with the university, you can't just throw them by the wayside, you know.
That too.
You know, you got to make it a multifunctional stadium at this point. So I think if you can find a way to maybe make a concert accessible or put it in an area that is going to draw and attract, you know, maybe some other businesses to build around it, then you're on to something. But just kind of saying, oh, they got a new stadium, so we want one, it doesn't work. You got to come with a better plan than that.
Well, it's identical to this town here in Regina, or a lot of, like, this is not new. Like, NHL teams in the States have that same feeling. They're fourth or fifth on the depth chart. Sure, the CFL is number one here. Ask the Argos what that means in Toronto. It means nothing. So it's no. Sure, the Pats were filling the barn when they went to the league final and they hosted the Memorial Cup, but on an average night, they're not packing the place. It's not that Regina doesn't love the Pats. They do. They're just not front and center. And it's the same thing with the Stampeders in Calgary. I don't know what would have to change, but the Calgary Flames are the priority in that town. That's why they're getting the new arena. When you talk about once it's paid for, maybe you look at a football stadium. It's going to take a long time when you're talking about $500 million. Anyways, beyond that, Wes Cates, the Saskatchewan Roughriders won the other night. I saw you at the football game. It's a lot different when you're in the stands from what I'm used to. I enjoy it, but back to the stadium thing. I eventually had to leave my seat to go to the washroom. I didn't want to leave my seat. I didn't want to miss the halftime act, Emerson Drive. And then I had to run around. They were sold out of nachos at the one concession I went to. So I'm running laps around this stadium trying to find nachos. I'm missing half the game. Yeah, that's what y'all have been living with forever. So I'm learning to be a fan again. But you, Wes, you're on the concourse. You're shaking hands, kissing babies, taking selfies. Didn't seem like you got to see much of the game either.
No, I even missed the John Ryan trick, like that special teams trick play. I didn't even know about it until I went back and kind of talked about it and watched some film.
Right.
But that's the kind of cool atmosphere it is. And I think that's great for, you know, maybe the person who wants to be at the game with their friends and family but isn't a huge football fan, right? You got a little space to move around on the concourse, plenty of food and things to do, maybe a little pricey, but the atmosphere is awesome. And that's the thing that happens when you have that space. Like Taylor Field, I never wanted to go to a game at Taylor Field because it was always cramped after I played.
You know,
because it was so cramped and it was just hard to access everything. Not that many concessions, bathrooms, as Marshall was talking about. You know, those sort of things are annoying and kind of take away from the experience. You want to have fun and have the amenities and the comfortableness at your leisure, right? And I think that the McMahon Stadium or the Mosaic Stadium does that now. And I like it. I've been to most of the games since it's opened, right?
I think we need to accept that times are changing. I mean, And you know, when I grew up and I had season tickets when I was probably 16 years old with my dad, or maybe it started even at 14, but the average football fan paid for his ticket, went and sat in his seat, watched the game, went and peed at halftime, came back, watched the game, and then drove home. That was the football fan experience in those days. Well, now you've got all these millennials, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to millennials. I have three sons that are all millennials, but they don't want it. That's not the football experience they want. I mean, you look at the pill country in the end zone there. What you've got is about four or five rows deep of standing room. And these guys are, you know, drinking beer and visiting along. Oh, there's a play going on. Oh, then they'll watch the replay on the Jumbotron. They're not sitting and watching the game and saying, third down, it's got to be a draw play here for sure. I mean, they're not they're not watching the football game the same way that I did when I was young. They're having a totally different experience. So to have this huge concourse with all this food and all these drinks and not even having to wait in line to go to the washroom and having pill country where you can sit and drink beer and stand, you don't have to be stuck in a seat, you know, and for some of us, those seats are just fine. For some of us that are bigger people, those seats aren't just fine. So it's a different world. It's a different fan experience. And the Riders, to their credit, have acknowledged that in how they designed the stadium and how they designed the pill country in particular.
Well, and that's why when I hear this thing about why doesn't it have a roof, I heard Jim Hobson talking the other day explaining why. It's about costs. It's the roof itself would have been too expensive for what we could afford, let alone the utility costs year-round of heating it or cooling it. It just isn't going to happen. So we talk about this fantastic facility that we have. Some people want to bitch that it doesn't have a roof. And then you got the Stampeders coming in here, which they just did a couple weeks ago, and they're looking around going, my God, why can't we have this? Right. And we got people here that are so upset that we don't have a roof. Like, smarten up! And at McMahon Stadium in Calgary, it is cramped. It's small. It's narrow concourses. Not enough bathrooms. That's one of the biggest reasons I'm told why they're not expanding McMahon Stadium for the Grey Cup, because they don't have the restroom facilities to add an extra 10, 15,000 seats. Right? So let's charge more for the tickets, hopefully make the same amount of money, and I sure hope the ticket sales are going well. But what we have here is an absolute architectural marvel. Enjoy it.
It's a great stadium.
And stop bitching. It's so great. We'll take a timeout. More with Wes Cates and Marshall Hamilton coming up. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live, rodpeterson.com, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Employee pricing is back.
You get to pay what I pay and the whole entire pre-owned inventory.
Plus, we're Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned store, right here in Regina.
This 2018 Nissan Rogue SV all-wheel drive is employee priced at just $22,999 plus tax. Or check out this 2011 Jetta Highline Diesel. It's employee price, just $11,999 plus tax.
You pay what we pay!
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
All right, it's the overtime segment. Wes Cates and Marshall Hamilton sticking in with us right to the end, to the top of the hour. Tuesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room right in the heart of Dewdney. The Toronto Blue Jays continue a three-game series with the Cleveland Indians tonight at Rogers Center. Toronto's expected to send Aaron Sanchez to the mound. The righty is currently mired in a streak of 10 straight losing starts. Darren Dupont went to his phone. He went to the big board and says the Blue Jays have been ranked the fifth best minor league system in Major League Baseball. So they are getting better. Thanks, Dupes, for that. And as he pointed out, the Jays might want to tell us that. I mean, the vast public of the hardcores probably know that, but I didn't. So maybe there is hope. The Atlanta Falcons and former Kansas City Chiefs defensive end Alan Bailey agreed to a two-year, $10.5 million deal today. The Buffalo Bills have signed offensive lineman Isaac Asiata and safety Abraham Wallace 2 days before the start of their training camp. Asiata was signed 6 weeks after being cut by Miami. I think he was here for a while. Somebody named Asiata anyways. I'm not sure if it's the same guy. And that is your Tuesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. And to the Prairie Mobile text line, a few have come in regarding the new arena in Calgary. Anonymous texter says, does the arena lend itself to helping with future Olympic bids? They've already voted that down in Calgary, right? So I can't assume they're going to go back and re-vote on it, I wouldn't think.
But they could go after it 4 years later or 8 years later. Right. So it ultimately will help. If they ever want to bid, it'll ultimately help them at some point.
To quote Gary Echeverry, forever's a long time.
About the 37. Like, no, I was thinking back to your comment about the best 37 ever. Didn't Deion Sanders wear 37 in Baltimore? Like one of the
I'd have to Google it.
Years,
didn't come up in my Google.
He was wearing his age back then. I think he was 37.
He was 21 earlier.
Yeah, right, with the Cowboys.
I think with the Falcons and the Cowboys, I think he was 21.
Yeah, definitely 21. But he started wearing his age the last couple years of his career.
And sounds
he was
like in Deion. Baltimore.
Sounds like Deion, yes. Yeah, yeah. Dan from Speedy Creek listening this morning at Listen Live at rodpeterson.com. He says, last chance you. Great show. Highly recommended. Seen them all so far and love it. From Dan in Swift Current, where they know how to tame a cat. Do you watch Last Chance?
And not turn it into a media circus.
Yeah. Do you watch Last Chance U?
No.
You heard of it?
Yeah. I've seen it a couple times. The guys that are still trying to... Yeah. They follow a few guys that are all still trying.
I just wondered if you were as hooked on it as a lot of people, that's all.
It was like, it'd be like watching my story, so I've seen
You've
it.
Lived it.
Yeah.
I get it. That's what I'm saying, but I get the charm.
No, yeah, I don't know if it, you know, you'd obviously look at it different than I do. I didn't grow up like that. So for me, I go, wow, that's a world that I have sympathy for players now that I never knew had to experience that growing up. So for me, it was real eye opening. So for you, if you lived that, then
it's
it might be painful memories.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It kind of takes you back to times, and then you look at a guy and you're like, you can kind of see where why he's not getting a chance, or you can kind of see you're like, man, why can't he get a chance? And it's tough. It can be the littlest things. It could just be an injury that sets you back and people don't want to take the risk, or it could just be the fact that like your measurables in drills aren't as good as the way you move around on the field. So they're thinking you're not the guy that can cover the space, but every time you get into a game, you're making plays. Those type of things are tough to see a guy put in that much hard effort. Cause you know, I was working from the time I was basically 7 years old. If you think about it and put it in the context at trying to become a professional football player. And it almost didn't happen. I barely got on Calgary's practice roster at the age of 25, going on 26, and was blessed to turn that into a career that, you know, meant something to a lot of people and kind of projected me into a life or career of success, which a lot of guys do put in just as much work try just as hard as I did, maybe even harder, and never get that break.
So your story is unbelievable. But the thing with Marshall, because you played for the Riders, Ticats, and Stamps, you had teammates who had upbringings like that. But my guess is you were so concerned about just hanging on to your own job or your own responsibilities that you weren't getting into the backgrounds of your teammates. Am I right in that?
Yeah, well, I don't know that I wouldn't word it quite that same way, but it's hard in that business. And back when I played, we didn't have the greatest team, so you had a lot more turnover on those teams than you would on a contending team. So you didn't get to know the people in depth. I mean, the kind of people I got to know in depth were the Bob Pulleys and the Roger Aldags and the guys like that were sort of homegrown people. And not only did we see each other on the football field and in the locker room during football season, but we'd travel around the province in the winter playing with the hockey team, the Rider hockey team. And, you know, we'd see each other in the gym and we'd see each other on the football field training until everybody else showed up. So those are the people I got to know the most. But the guys like Wes Cates, we were in different generations, but the guys like Wes Cates that came from another upbringing, I didn't get to know very many of them other than sort of the surface part.
I got you. Clark Monroe, producer Clark, telling us Johan Asiata, 2012 offensive lineman with the Rough Riders. Was that when you were with the team, Clark? Yes, that's why he remembers. I knew there was an Asiata came through here with the Riders, but this is not the same guy. Before we go off the air, we still got good 7-8 minutes here, but please tag a friend who needs to tune in. That's the only way this show is going to grow. Tag a friend in the comments section and share it. Click share at the bottom of the screen. Wes, we've had a lot of guys like yourself that have come through here. Rider Hall of Famer sat in that chair. Nate Davis, Mike Abu-Meshrick, and Mike's probably watching this morning in Nicaragua. They all agree that they played in a special time of the game. Mm-hmm. Now society seems to change. I'm sure there are pockets of Riders hanging out together. It's human nature.
Right.
But it seems like the world, the game has changed. I mean, are you in touch with young current football players now? They just don't seem to have the same as back then. Or is it just us getting old?
No, I think it's just you got to kind of touch base with them on their level. You know what I mean? Some young athletes, like, I run into, I guess, maybe current players a bit, but I don't, like, necessarily keep tabs and call guys up and meet up. I mean, as a football player, there's, you know, you're on a team with 50 to 70 guys. I mean, you're not going to hang out with all of them. Some of them you might not even like, but you respect them enough, you know, to work with them and kind of and do your own thing. But it's tough. I mean, I think I still kind of keep tabs a little bit on, you know, the guys that are coming up from my hometown. Or that my family knows that maybe have a shot and try to give them a little leg up, helping hand to get a look in the CFL or whatever.
Is Jeff Knox Jr. a guy you're referring to?
Jeff Knox. Yeah, he wasn't a guy that I helped, but he was a guy that I kind of took note of because he went to my same school. But, there's been guys in the past that, you know, send me tape and it's like, oh, you can just look me up on YouTube or whatever. And, you know, I try to talk to the guys I know in the league that might have some influence and, you know, just send some tape their way.
Reason I bring that up, like you said, Jeff played at Cal Penn like you. He's now with the Ottawa Redblacks. And in the time we have left, and Marshall and I will be kicking this around on television tonight on our other show. But through 6 weeks, what have we learned? We've learned Winnipeg's the best team. Toronto and BC are the worst teams. Calgary's not the same without Bo Levi Mitchell, but they can still win. Edmonton and Ottawa, gentlemen, I think don't know what they have through 6 games. I'll start with you, Marshall. What are you seeing out of those two clubs? And which of the two is for real? Maybe they both are, but what are you seeing from the Esks and the Red Blacks?
I think the Eskimos are a better team than I thought they'd be at the beginning of the season, and I attribute a lot of that to the pressure they're able to get with their defensive line. And the quarterback play they're getting out of Trevor Harris. Now, Trevor Harris looked a little bit ordinary in Montreal last weekend, but I think people underestimate how big a factor that heat was. When you're a Western team going out to the East Coast in the middle of the summer and playing in that heat and humidity, and I saw a thing on TSN that showed that it was like 45 degrees Celsius, that is just... It just takes zaps all the energy out of you. And I grew up in Canada. You might have grown up in the southern part of the States where you had more humidity and more heat. I didn't grow up there. And I'd get into that stadium and go, ugh. I don't want to do anything other than sit in a hot tub or drink a cold beer. I didn't want to play football. And it looked like Edmonton in that heat didn't want to play football. Back to your question, Ottawa, I think, is a better team than I thought they'd be at the beginning of the season. But they're well coached. They're a good, well-coached football team. And they still have some good players despite losing so many people through free agency. But they're going to be a middle to lower third pack team when all is said and done. But Edmonton's, you know, I thought would be in the bottom third. They're going to be in the middle third for sure.
What do you think, Wes, of those two teams?
I think Edmonton, I don't know how much a play in BC a couple of times early kind of helped them out, you know.
Covered some warts, maybe?
Yeah. So I think they're okay. I think Ottawa has more athletes and has more big play ability. They're more exciting to watch to me, I guess. When I see Ottawa games, they just seem to spark my attention and have some playmakers. And I can't think of the DB that's over there, 31. I can't think of his last name. But anyway, they make more plays is what I'm getting at. So I think they're going to have more ups and downs. But I kind of feel like Edmonton might have kind of fooled us early. And I think they might kind of start sliding. I don't know. I'm kind of basing this off the Montreal game too. But
did you watch that game?
I didn't watch it, but just the way it all unfolded, I was like, oh, I don't know if Edmonton is who we kind of thought they were to start off. And I kind of
they
went
aren't
back to,
who we thought they were.
Yeah. So it's kind of, yeah. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know. These teams are, everything seems flipped upside down with the CFL right now. I don't know
which
what
is
to
great.
Think about any of it. Yeah, it is great. Because you don't know who's really going to take it. I think Hamilton and Winnipeg look like the teams that kind of have figured out who they want to be and are playing like that. And yeah. It's whether are the other teams going to find
and
their identity?
This week.
Are the other teams going to find their identity and step up to the plate? And sometimes teams go a whole season without really knowing who they are. And I think that's kind of the situation with a lot of teams in the CFL right now.
You didn't ask about Montreal. And Montreal's really turning it around.
Yep.
Defense is playing really well. They got a running back that's running well. Vernon Adams isn't turning over the ball, and he's making some exciting plays. Kahari Jones has found a way to settle that team down and believe in him as their leader. They are a really, really surprising turnaround after being a tire fire for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Vernon Adams get his shot.
Yeah.
You know, the whole controversy when what's his name?
Manziel.
Yeah, comes in and kind of takes his shine. Yeah. I think it's good to kind of see him get a shot. And Kaiji seems to kind of know how to call plays according to his athletes, right?
On that Montreal thing, Kahari Jones, was he here when you were here?
Nope, I just missed
him. You just missed him. Well, love that guy. Never, ever, ever thought he would even want to be a head coach. If you guys remember, Wes, were you in the league when he played? When he retired, he was an actor. He was performing in theater in Calgary. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not coaching.
He was a thespian.
He was a thespian. And then he wanted to be on CBC, so he did that. So it was like Kahari didn't really know what he wanted to do. And then he got into coaching, and, well, he was great at that. And the players loved him. But that's one thing to be a position coach. Then he becomes a coordinator. That's another thing. That's entirely different than being a head coach. And now he's in Montreal, and he is kicking ass and taking names. I think we're all very happy for Kahari Jones for that. And the other thing with VA that I'll never forget, you cannot discount how small this human being is. He is not big. He, like Weston Dressler, could probably eat an apple off his head, I think. And Dressler's not big. I just remember at a Rider practice, whenever he was here, he was punting and pinning down inside the five. And Chris Jones was starting to do his interviews. Your favorite coach, Marshall. Jones was about to do his media scrum. And VA is pinning every punt down inside the five. And he's like, hey, Coach Jones, I can punt too. And Jones is like, yeah. You know, just to be on the field. Like, if you're not going to play me a quarterback, I can punt. I can do this. That's how talented he is.
For sure.
But just a quick comment, though, on his height. The people who don't like quarterbacks that are short are people that don't understand the game.
And NFL scouts.
Because they think, well, but they're starting to get it right now, too, with Cleveland's quarterback and with the guy that went number one overall to Arizona this year. They're starting to understand that, too. A quarterback, if all you want your quarterback to do is to drop back 7 yards and stand in the middle of the pocket with all these 6'5" offensive linemen in front of him and a bunch of defensive, it's going to be really hard for them to see over those guys. But Kahari Jones knows that if you move your quarterback around, all of a sudden these passing lanes open up, and it's like watching a widescreen TV. You got lots of visibility, and you can see your receivers. You actually got more time for them to get open. So, you know, his mobility, and he is smooth. You've heard me say this before. He reminds me a little bit of Damon Allen with the way he can move around in that pocket. His height is not an issue. His athleticism is helping him.
But the prototypical NFL quarterback is different. Smaller, than the prototypical field, CFL quarterback.
You know. I think height is going to get you in trouble as a quarterback, but only like 5 to 10 times a game, yeah, or a season. I'm sorry, because you're going to have plays where you don't see the linebacker or something because of these big guys that are in your vision, and maybe you throw a pick because you throw to an area where you don't think anybody is, and there is a defender there. But other than that, like Marshall said, I'm kind of the mindset that if a guy puts up numbers, you give him a shot at the next level, and you keep giving him a shot at the next level until he stops putting up numbers, because you can't really quantify how people get stuff done. They just get it done. You know what I mean? So to say he's not tall enough, or he's not fast enough or strong enough is you're lying to yourself, really, but you're just scared to give that guy an opportunity, or scared to give a person an opportunity that doesn't measure up, and then they fail and take that on yourself for whatever reason. But I find that most athletes that put up big numbers find a way to make it happen at the next level.
Well, whoever sings that song, "All I Do Is Win," should be Vernon Adams' theme song. Connor, who sings that song? Our intern over there. He doesn't know. Too late.
Yeah,
it is DJ Khaled. He got it just in under the wire.
Well done.
Oh, it's working. You got
internship.
It. That's funny. Craig Smith writing in, the Rod Peterson Show director of scouting. He says, love this football talk. And he says, ranty Roddy Peterson today, not to be confused with rowdy Roddy Piper. Hashtag love the Rod Peterson Show. Well, Smitty, I'll just say this. As rowdy Roddy Piper used to say, it's no different here with what he used to say in the ring. Just when you think you figured out the answers, I change the questions. And that goes for everybody. But he's right about loving the football talk. Guys, I don't know about you. I sit and watch the NFL Network hour after hour after hour. And with these NFL training camps opening up, when I turn on the NFL Network, it's like walking into the Golden Corral, America's finest buffet. I'm just like, where do I start?
Yeah.
Right? What's on the internet, the Sports Illustrated's Monday morning quarterback coverage. I want to do the same thing here.
Yeah.
But with CFL guys. So I did it on the radio for years, and it worked very well there. Now we're bringing it to the screen, and I appreciate you guys participating.
Build it, and they will come.
Yeah, thank you, Wes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The Wes Cates. We'll see you tomorrow here on The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.